Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. As I've stated before, the trick and the lie, along with self-righteous hate and outrageous hypocrisy, are part and parcel, modus operandi, of the communists and their allies, the so-called liberals and other leftists, and now the globalists and oligarchs with all their money tied up in the gigantic money laundering operation that is communist China. For these people, the ends justify the means. Their ultimate goal is power over the rest of us, which the left self-righteously believes is for our own good. Ultimately, in all communist states, that power results in mass murder, slavery, and terror for the populations. There is significant evidence that in recent years, the political left has learned that they can seize power by stealing our elections. And as I and many others see it, in recent years, the left has been stealing elections across the country with great effectiveness, along with an equally effective mass cover-up of their crimes, thanks to the willing participation of many thousands of people in charge of our elections, the courts, the media, and our corrupt political establishment. Some of these people may just be criminals taking money in exchange for their services. Others may be leftist ideologues, and others may be compromised in one way or another, such as through bribery, extortion, or intimidation. The left's plot to utterly destroy America as we have known it and eventually hand over our greatly weakened and hapless country to the left's masters, those in the Communist Chinese Party, CCP, is well underway, with the CCP's puppet installed in the White House, Joe Biden. As I see it, the most extreme leftist ideologues involved in this plot apparently believe that America, with its many constitutional individual rights and freedoms, stands in the way of, as the leftist billionaire George Soros has said, a just and fair world order. These people believe the USA, as we have known it, must be destroyed as a precursor of the imposition of their delusional communistic new world order and the longed-for workers' paradise. There's no doubt in my mind that since the day he took office, the nauseatingly corrupt Joe Biden, along with his family members, have been paid tens of millions of dollars in cash from the CCP-affiliated groups and individuals that have provided this money. And Joe Biden has taken step after step to dismantle all the good things Donald Trump did to make America strong and prosperous and to aid Biden's masters in the CCP at every opportunity. Unlike in communist China or North Korea, for example, Joe Biden doesn't have the dictatorial powers of a Xi Jinping or a Kim Jong-un. Parts of the U.S. government operate more or less independently and have laws and policies they are guided by. And of course, in the U.S., there is separation of powers. So much of our government and political representatives have been waking up to the threat of the communists and taking action in response, action which Joe Biden is obliged to go along with. But he is doing all he can to assist his benefactors and the CCP at every opportunity. There are many actions which Joe Biden has taken to undermine the United States and to support communist China. Let's take a look at some of them. Donald Trump established a Department of Justice task force to root out espionage by the CCP. Biden dissolved it. Oh, there are still some investigations and prosecutions of CCP spies and such, but the vigorous approach of the Trump administration toward these activities has been abandoned. Joe Biden suddenly, without delay or notice, withdrew American forces from Afghanistan, abandoning what was originally reported as some $85 billion in state-of-the-art U.S. military equipment there, along with many thousands of our Afghan allies who have probably been murdered, and opening the way for China to sweep in and take over Bagram Air Base, just 400 miles from the Afghan border. Besides plainly and strategically benefiting China, which immediately began exerting its influence on Afghanistan, it's been speculated that this cowardly surrender of that country and our allies there emboldened Russia to invade Ukraine. The former head of the British Armed Forces in Afghanistan has said Joe Biden, as commander-in-chief of U.S. forces, should be court-martialed for his actions in Afghanistan. Biden has refused to enforce our immigration laws, throwing our borders open to a flood of millions of illegal immigrants, among them many ill with infectious diseases, violent criminals, and foreign agents from some 160 countries. And with them, enormous quantities of illegal drugs, particularly fentanyl, whose ingredients come from China and then are made into pills of this deadly substitute for heroin in illicit Mexican drug labs. These are then sent across our open border by the drug cartels, benefiting both the CCP with huge profits and chaos from overdose deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans, and enriching the CCP's allies in the cartels. Biden's administration has been pushing hard for abandoning fossil fuel production, ostensibly over the charade of the supposed need to combat climate change. He's also been vigorously promoting forced conversion to entirely electric vehicles, something already being enforced with new laws in states like California, where another major CCP asset, radical leftist governor Gavin Newsom, reigns supreme thanks to, I maintain, recent election to recall him having been rigged and which failed. There's a video clip on the internet showing the recall vote totals on recall election night in California. There, as you are watching, some 350,000 votes cast for recalling Newsom suddenly disappear from the yes on recall vote column. This is a sure sign, say election observers, of electronic vote manipulation. Getting back to the left's climate change hysteria, who do you think benefits most from this massive push to switch from gasoline to electric battery-powered vehicles? Communist China, which makes about 80% of the world's electric vehicle batteries. Biden and his handlers, along with other climate change fanatics, keep demanding the absolute abandonment of U.S. oil, coal, and natural gas energy production and usage, but never, ever say one word in criticism of their masters in China. China is one of the world's most heavily polluted countries, where oil, gas, and coal usage are widespread, and environmental concerns are largely non-existent in return for maximum profit and economic growth. This is the well-known CCP goal of growth at any cost. This helps ensure the fabulous enrichment of the CCP's elites and their servants on Wall Street and elsewhere in the West, who keep funneling them money. The recent hubbub over the CCP spy balloon did not prevent the Biden administration allowing it to float over sensitive and critical American military bases and intercontinental ballistic missile silos before ordering it shot down. And as jitters swept through the American and Western banking establishment over the past week following the collapse of the radical left's appeasing Silicon Valley Bank in California, they've given some $74 million to Black Lives Matter groups, and Signature Bank in New York, along with financial weakness of many other banks, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen testified before Congress last week that the Biden administration intends to protect uninsured foreigners with deposits in SVB. This report includes many Chinese nationals and corporations controlled by the CCP, with probably billions of dollars in deposits in SVB. Of these corporations alone, China In Focus program on NTV television estimated that some $240 million was uninsured deposits were there in Silicon Valley Bank, SVB. What a coincidence. Just where the billions of dollars for this bailout will come from is at this point unclear, but never fear, Joe Biden is here once again, dutifully serving his masters in the CCP. And while we're on the subject, isn't the financial weaknesses these troubled banks are experiencing the direct result of the Federal Reserve's continued raising of interest rates in an attempt to control rampant inflation caused by the wild, reckless spending the Biden administration has been engaging in over the past 2 years? This spending includes things like billions of dollars to promote gender equity and LGBTQ issues in foreign countries and offshore wind turbine farms, which are feared to be killing whales and harming other marine life. But don't worry. Joe Biden is here to save America from itself. Recent revelations by investigating Republicans in Congress confirming that Biden family members have received tens of millions of dollars in direct payments from CCP and Chinese military intelligence-connected firms. Well, actually, they're talking about a little over $1 million, I think, in these particular instances. There are many more deals which they intend to look into. But it's also an undisputed fact and has been widely reported that Biden, very possibly Joe Biden himself, and certainly his family, certain family members, have received tens of billions of dollars over the years from CCP-influenced firms and individuals, with connection to Chinese military intelligence. Not every, all of them perhaps, but some of them. Now, just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, elements of the of that same corrupt American political establishment, this time in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office in New York, are reportedly preparing to indict and arrest President Donald Trump on what appear to be politically motivated and frivolous criminal charges. As you might know, Trump, who has dared to truly stand up to the CCP, scares the establishment to death. And it would seem that many of them are desperate to prevent another run for president by Trump, despite the fact that abundant evidence suggests traitorous criminals, along with their allies in the CCP, are now substantially controlling our elections. If you are engaging in overthrowing the duly elected constitutional government of the United States of America, are you not committing treason? Yet the great majority of our judiciary seem hell-bent to ignore and wave off any attempts to look into all the allegations and evidence of massive fraud in our recent elections. Why? You can certainly make the case that all this madness is the result of the treasonous theft of our elections by a cabal of criminals in league with the Communist Chinese Party and Mexican cartels. They want the utter destruction of America, and they are getting it. Our judiciary has largely abandoned us, right up to the Trump-nominated justices on our Supreme Court who have joined with the majority there in refusing to even consider the mountain of evidence of corrupted and stolen elections. The monster, Joe Biden, and his handlers are laughing at us, I say. They know they can trick and lie their way to victory over us every time, and our equally and sickeningly corrupt establishment will back them all the way in deceiving the American people. Why aren't the Republicans supposedly dominating the U.S. House of Representatives investigating all the evidence of corrupted and stolen elections? These people don't seem to realize that when America finally falls, among the millions who will be arrested and done away with, many of them will be included. Before I go further, let me be clear. I am not calling for any kind of violence in response to our dire predicament. That's what the left wants you to do, to help them deceive the public, as with J6 and the Russia collusion canards. But undoubtedly, we are in a world of hurt. Is it still possible for enough patriotic Americans to step up and stop the rigging of our elections so the CCP operative Joe Biden and his handlers and supporters can be swept aside and America be saved from eventual enslavement? It's anyone's guess at this point. If you've been following the election debacle in Arizona late last year, where Trump-allied candidate for governor Carrie Lake was defeated by radical leftist Katie Hobbs, and all the other Trump-supporting candidates were also defeated, you were probably aware that Lake vowed to take on and defeat the cartels in Arizona, which she said virtually run Arizona. If she was elected governor, this was simply not going to be allowed by the, again, sickeningly corrupt state political establishment in Arizona, where it seems just about everyone is on the take and the state relies on cartel money to keep operating. At least that's the claim of investigating attorney, I believe his name is Thaler. Yes, last name is set up. We featured him on last program. Even George Soros-backed and newly elected Governor Katie Hobbs, newly elected, I say, or should I say selected, Governor Katie Hobbs, has recently been accused of taking bribes. This was done by Mr. Thaler. The obviously corrupt and or compromised courts in Arizona keep dismissing Lake's lawsuit attempting to expose the rigged election there, with so-called judges declaring that there is no clear and convincing evidence of fraud and that her appeal is baseless. Lake has said she'll consider running for U.S. Senator from Arizona if her appeals over the corrupted 2022 election ultimately lose. I say Lake's appeals will be rejected by the Arizona Supreme Court. They're supposed to make some kind of ruling regarding that next week. And when taken to the U.S. Supreme Court, the cowards there, they're not all cowards, but most of them are, will refuse to even consider her case, as they've done all along. What good would it do for her to run for senator when the CCP, cartels, and establishment have all but total control of the elections in Arizona? No, they can get away with whatever they want to do, and absolutely are not going to allow any real challenges to their appalling illegalities, of which there is a lot of evidence. In any event, here's some audio with Lake's discussing the recent murders and kidnappings of Americans by cartels in Mexico with radio and television host Steve Bannon on his War Room program, rebroadcast March 7th on redvoicemedia.com. Play soundbite one.
Biden administration's rules and regulations are opening the border to allow an invasion. But the instrumentality that's making this horrific is the cartels, trafficking of fentanyl, trafficking of children, trafficking of women, trafficking of illegal aliens. Talk to me about this situation that's happening in Texas. A couple of American citizens down there for, some cosmetic surgery have been gunned down. How deadly are the cartels? And what was in back of Carrie Lake's war against the cartels?
Oh, they'll raise money and make money any way they can. And if kidnapping is going to make them money, and mark my words, I think we're going to see a lot more of that. It's going to be a concern for tourists. And I know as people like to go, you know, south of the border and visit some of the great fun towns down there, life is not safe down there. These cartels are firmly in control, not just in Mexico, but they're firmly in control of Arizona as well. And that is why my top issue is to make sure that we secure our border. And I believe that's one of the main reasons that they stole this election from us, because they knew that I meant what I said, which is day one, I take my hand off the Bible after giving the oath of office, and we begin to secure that border, call it what it is, an invasion. We get boots on the ground. We get money down there. We stop the cartels from moving their product, and their product is fentanyl and people across our border. And they want this to be open. Joe Biden is a part of the problem. And you know how to tell that, because he came in on day one within hours of taking office, and he turned back and rolled back all of President Trump's incredible policies, which had our southern border more secure than we'd ever seen it. And so he wants it wide open. In my opinion, he's partnering with the cartels. He's got blood on his hands for the hundreds of thousands of young people who've been killed by fentanyl poisoning. And now, if we think that they're emboldened here, look what's happening in Mexico. They're taking it a step further. You know, Colombia used to be the kidnapping capital of the world, and now we're going to see that in Mexico, and nothing will be done. Joe Biden won't do a damn thing about it, and so every American wandering around the globe traveling is going to have a big dollar sign on their back, and it's going to free these criminals up around the globe to kidnap Americans.
As I said, a classic tactic of the communist left is to launch propaganda attacks filled with lies, hatred, and hypocrisy on their opponents, accusing their opponents of doing what these leftists are doing. Here's audio on this and Joe Biden's role in this from commentary by Mark Levin on his radio show March 6. Please play soundbite 2.
I think much of the political violence that's taking place in this country can be laid at the feet of Barack Obama and then subsequently at Joe Biden. the media, the Democrats, they want you to believe that Republicans are violent. That's pretty funny in a sick kind of way. They point to January 6th over and over and over and over and over again. But they blow off Antifa as an idea, which is a violent criminal enterprise, as they blow up Black Lives Matter, a violent criminal Marxist enterprise, as they blow off crime in the streets and on and on. But it's time to be very, very clear. The Democrat Party is a party of violence. That's why they undermine cops. That's why they won't secure the border. That's why they let criminals out the back door after they come through the front door. And I'm talking about violent criminals. That's why gun control is aimed at law-abiding citizens. And they do next to nothing when it comes to MS-13 and homegrown gangs. And Joe Biden knows this. Because in many ways, Joe Biden is a mobster. You heard that correctly. The President of the United States can do a lot to secure the border. The power drops to him. The President can do a lot of things to protect our cities and our neighborhoods, but he won't. He talks tough. He does nothing. But one of the things a president shouldn't do is pour fuel on the fire that he already started and his former boss Obama started. This constant talk about how voting rights are being taken away from people, that half the country doesn't believe in democracy, that the white population is a privileged, dominant population filled with MAGA types who are, of course, right-wingers like neo-Nazis and Klansmen. His rhetoric, his propaganda, his hate speech, if you will, is a vile attack on this society. And he does it because he is a fool. He's always been a dumb guy. He's always been a street thug. He's always lied repeatedly, as he did yesterday in Selma, Alabama. And nobody plays the race card and gets away with it as easily and as repeatedly as Joe Biden. Whether he was using it as a backbencher senator to get reelected in Delaware, or now, he's moved from an anti-black racist to an anti-white racist, as has most of the Democrat Party. Rather than promoting Americanism, a civil society, rather than promoting law and order, equal justice rather than equity, and we'll get to that later, Joe Biden is a font for all that's wrong with this country and the radicalism that's taken hold in this country. He's no moderate. He's no centrist. He's a smirking, stupid political hack. That's what he is. And there he is in Selma, Alabama, saying things yet again that are inflammatory and provocative, for which he takes no heat from the corrupt, radical left, dishonest media in this country. Here's what he said yesterday on the anniversary of the events that took place in Selma. Cut one, go.
The right to vote, to have your vote counted, is the threshold of democracy and liberty. With it, anything's possible. Without it, without that right, nothing is possible. And this fundamental right remains under assault. The conservative Supreme Court has gutted the Voting Rights Act over the years.
All right, let's stop this for a second. It has gutted the Voting Rights Act over the years. The Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965, over half a century ago. There are different elements to the Voting Rights Act. If you are an individual who's been intimidated, threatened, otherwise prevented from voting based on your race, ethnicity, or nationality, you have a federal cause of action under the 1965 voting rights, which the Democrats filibustered. You still have an individual right. The Supreme Court didn't touch it.
He doesn't mince words, does he? That's what I like about Mark Levin. Mark Levin knows what he's talking about here. Besides being a renowned national talk show host, attorney, and best-selling author of more than half a dozen books, Levin was chief of staff to U.S. Attorney General Edwin Meese in the Reagan administration. Here's more audio from the Mark Levin radio show, this time on March 16th, with Levin discussing the recent revelations by investigators in Congress, as we mentioned above, confirming the huge money transfers from communist Chinese officials and firms to Biden family members. Levin, like many of us, is frustrated at the left's near absolute control of the Justice Department, including the FBI, and much of the rest of our intelligence community, at least the leadership thereof. And thus, its disgusting refusal to do anything about all the allegations and evidence of appalling corruption by Joe Biden and his family members. Play soundbite three, please.
Haley Biden received a cut of $3 million in cash from China, sent through an associate of Hunter. According to Republicans who released information from subpoenaed bank records. Now, let's just stop there a minute. Would that not be headline news today on every newspaper, on every news platform? Would that not be headline news even for the Today Show and Good Morning America? Would that not be headline news for the Yentas on The View? You damn well know it would be. Bo Biden's widow was identified today as the third member of the first family wrapped up in Representative James Comer's investigation and allegations they used their names to profit on business deals around the world. In a memo seen by the DailyMail.com, Haley received $35,000 in two transfers in March from Biden family associate John Rob Walker after he received a $3 million wire from the Chinese State Energy HK Limited, a firm affiliated with the CFC China Energy. That's the massive communist Chinese energy front group. Goes on, White House hit back in a blistering statement. They called the focus on Hunter Biden's widow bizarre. Really? Well, I'm focused on Joe Biden. Is that bizarre, too? Haley, who had dinner with Joe in Delaware on Friday, was married to Bo until his cancer death in 2015 and then had a relationship with Hunter from March 2017 until 2019. The bombshell memo shows Republicans are expanding their investigation into whether the Biden family used their names to cash in on ventures across the globe. The GOP is also investigating what, if any, services Walker or family members provided to receive $3 million in cash from China. In the memo obtained by the DailyMail.com, Comer asked why Haley Biden publicly reported to work as a school counselor to receive money from Rob Walker, the account holder, who got the initial deposit from the Chinese firm. And then, of course, this guy, Jamie Raskin, who's a Red, his father was a commie. His father set up the Institute for Policy Studies, a Soviet front group in many respects. He's been involved in every effort to take out Donald Trump on the impeachments and so forth, and now he's their go-to guy still. But Comer also took a shot at ranking member Jamie Raskin, who accused him of running a dragnet for personal financial information on Walker. He said ranking member Jamie Raskin mischaracterized the substance of the bank's records by referencing payments related to Mr. Walker's miscellaneous purchases, such as Papa John's and coffee at Starbucks, he wrote, referencing a blistering memo by Raskin blasting the probe as strictly political. See this guy, Raskin? He had no problem with going after Trump over nothing. But here we have something, and he accuses the Republicans of doing exactly what he did. Representative Raskin omitted material facts that Robinson Walker LLC received a $3 million wire from a Chinese company in March 2017, less than 2 months after Biden left the vice presidency, and that Mr. Walker then transferred over $1 million to various banks associated with the Bidens in the following months. Jamie Raskin doesn't care about any of that. This is a big, big deal. And may I say, the Bidens have been caught red-handed, communist red-handed. I just read to you what the appointment requirement for a special counsel is. How has that not been done yet? It's case after case after case. Fingerprints, DNA, everything all over the place. The White House has repeatedly denied President Biden knowing family members' business dealings. He distanced himself from his own family, his brother, his daughter-in-law, his son. But they're innocent, you see. Joe Biden knows they're innocent, but he doesn't know anything about what they've been doing. He frequently continues, does Biden, to socialize with family members traveling with Natalie Biden, Haley and Bo's daughter, to the West Coast this week and dining at Haley Biden's home in Delaware last week, according to a poll report filed by a reporter traveling with the president, but they don't discuss anything. No. White House spokesidiot Ian Sams accused Comer of cruelty, going after Biden's son and his late son's widow. Oh, I see. It's cruel, so don't do it. Don't look into it. The transactions cited by Comer are from 2017, after Beau's death. After Beau's death. This poor Beau Biden has been used by his family and their lawyers to try and conceal all their filthy, lousy corruption. It's unbelievable. After Beau's death, when Haley Biden and Hunter Biden were romantically involved, that's from 2017, what they're looking at in part. The memo also references Biden associate James Giller. After the Chinese company wired Robertson Walker the $3 million, the Biden family received approximately $1,065,692 over a three-month period in different bank accounts. All right, let's stop there a second. What in the hell is the Biden family doing getting $3 million from a communist Chinese front group? Let's just stop. And then they get money at the Penn Biden Center in Washington, D.C. to pay him $900,000 a year for sitting on his ass and picking his nose. Now think about that. More Chinese money. What the hell's going on here? And over there at the Department of Injustice, they're all blind to it. They don't want to know. They don't want to hear. They don't want to see. It's unbelievable. And yet, wait till you hear what the rogue Jack the Ripper Smith is doing in a moment. Comer says he issued the subpoena on February 27. And he says it was in pursuit of legislative solutions, a statement that recalls the court fight over Democrat efforts to get Trump's tax returns. Well, they got them, and there was nothing. And so they're looking at these bank statements. They're looking at these wire transfers. And you can imagine the Democrats had no interest in looking at anything if it didn't have Trump related to it. So there's real fire here, not just smoke. There is real fire here. Where's Woodward? Where's Bernstein? Where's Haberman? Where is Jeremy and his Peters? Where are the New York Times and the Washington Post and NBC and MSNBC? Where's CNN and ABC and CBS? Where are all the intrepid investigative reporters that are overpaid, slovenly buffoons? Where are they? Don't they want a breaking story? And where the hell is Christopher Wray and Meritless Garland? Aren't they interested in finding out what took place? Apparently not. Maybe we can get a local Republican DA to dig into this. A local Republican DA, maybe we can get one of them to dig into this. A Republican Attorney General. Problem is, they're not in Delaware or Washington, D.C. Nonetheless, maybe there's one out there, because this is heavy-duty cover-up mode. Heavy-duty cover-up mode.
As I said about the political left, outrageous hypocrisy. And here is a classic example of the two-tiered system of justice we now have in this country, the left's domination of our government, and it's either compromised or intimidation of much of the political right. And that would include a good number of Republicans. These are people who are commonly referred to as Republicans in name only or rhinos. And all of these people, I like to refer to using the freedom-loving Noor bin Laden's term, ANOs, Americans in name only. Noor bin Laden is the half-niece of Osama bin Laden, but she was raised in Switzerland and is very much a supporter of Trump and freedom and all these wonderful things that she believes in America, even though I don't think she's an American citizen. I think she's a Swiss citizen, but anyway, I was going to change course a bit here and play a rather lengthy soundbite I'd recorded from Trevor Loudon. He is a distinctly anti-communist video maker and researcher, and he has a program called Counterpunch on NTD TV. And one of his recent programs was about the communist influence and outright control, at least to a certain extent, of the World Health Organization. And it's rather long, and I had a lot of commentary on it. I decided, because we will really wrap up the show a little earlier today, So I didn't sure wasn't sure we had enough time, but I strongly suggest if you get around to subscribing to the Epoch Times newspaper or the Epoch, it's online version, epochtimes.com. And if you do that, it's only $5 a month. You also get a subscription to Epoch TV and NTD TV, which is are the television arms of that organization, which for my money is the best news organization in the country. But of course, I'm rather biased, like everybody else. Anyway, one of the points I was going to make was that, of course, Donald Trump did not like the way the World Health Organization was kowtowing to China over their cover-up of the Wuhan virus leak and the outbreak there in China that spread to the rest of the world and has killed millions. And, of course, there is some bleating protests from the people at World Health Organization, but clearly they are in China's pocket. And Trump pulled America out of the World Health Organization and cut off some $400 million a year we were pouring into their coffers. Of course, Joe Biden, when he took office, immediately reversed all that, resumed the funding, and re-enrolled us as a member of the World Health Organization. And he has reportedly of late been seeking to surrender American sovereignty to the World Health Organization for when there is another pandemic, or if the COVID-19 pandemic should get worse, and let them control how that pandemic has handled this country, including use of lockdowns and masks and all the rest of it, inoculations. Anyway, let's move on here. Former communist and former darling of the political left, David Horowitz, founder of the Freedom Center and author of the new book, Final Battle, The Next Election Could Be the Last, which is on sale on the store pages of his frontpagemag.com website, has this to say in the promotional text for the book. Quote, Final Battle by David Horowitz exposes the real threat that Democrats, and I say many Republicans as well, that Democrats pose to freedom. The rise of socialism and critical race theory, coupled with threats to the Electoral College and Senate and independent judiciary, and the integrity of the electoral system now threaten to destroy the traditions that bring Americans together, the heart of our democracy. Attacks on these quintessentially American customs codified by the founding fathers undermine the possibility of bipartisan solutions to common problems like viral pandemics and civil disorders. Americans now speak in different and antagonistic political languages, and the two parties are so polarized that the American way of life itself is at risk, end quote, is at risk, end quote. Having failed now in the last two successive national elections to defeat the left's candidates and its control of our government, almost everyone on the political right seems to have given up on efforts to fix our corrupt and rigged elections. President Trump boldly talks about when he wins in the 2024 election, he will do this and that. And the rest of the political right establishment seems to have the same fantasy about retaking the White House and Congress in the 2024 election. This, as I said, is utter fantasy unless we can fix these horrifically rigged and stolen elections. What's wrong with these supposedly Republican-controlled state legislatures in the half dozen or so key swing states? Not to mention everywhere else. Although our courts have largely failed to support the Constitution, it's very clear that state legislatures under the Constitution have control over the manner of conducting elections in those states. The travesties of the 2020 election and after should never have occurred. But as I said, so many of these people seem to be compromised, seem to be accomplices in what's been going on. The legislatures should be sending in loyal state law enforcement personnel to these corrupt Democrat and rhino controlled vote counting centers in Detroit, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Atlanta, Las Vegas, and everywhere, really, everywhere else in the country. Or even if they're Democrat legislators, this should be being done with a distinct directive to ensure enforcement of constitutional rights of everyone, but particularly Republicans, like, and so that we don't have a repeat of what happened in the 2020 election and after that, where, for example, in Pennsylvania, Republicans were denied their right to view and contest some 700,000 paper ballots. No more illegal secret ballot counting and insertions. No more denial of poll watchers' rights, as I said, of inspection and challenging of ballots. No more denial of efforts to hold genuine forensic election audits. Strict enforcement of state election laws everywhere. And just as important, elimination of electronic voting equipment and software that has been shown by our own federal government and even election computer equipment executives to be, in the words of one executive, riddled with bugs and vulnerable to cyber attacks. Likewise, there must be thorough congressional investigations into allegations and evidence that Communist China has been given access to a CIA supercomputer, if they haven't built one themselves, allowing cyber attacks to switch millions of votes cast for Donald Trump to Joe Biden and from Trump-endorsed candidates to those favored by the CCP and American political left. And if these allegations are true, are proven true, who was responsible? Mark Levin has said it's legally impossible to indict a sitting U.S. president. Be that as it may, there are numerous serious instances of Biden's incompetence, dereliction of duty, corruption, and possible treason with which to impeach him and remove him from office. The question is, are there enough American patriots with the guts in Congress to get this done before we lose our country? That's a wrap for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. Look for us again live 2 weeks from today in this same time slot. Have a great rest of your day.